Well, it's that time of year when the kids are finishing up school, and if you don't have kids in that space anymore, I say, lucky you. The end of the school year is crazy. There are so many field trips and final moments and all this hoopla, and Mom, I need this snack by tomorrow morning. Did you forget? Yes, I did. It wasn't on the list. I don't know. But as we come to the end of the year, I think it's a great time to salute our teachers who have spent all year dealing with our children. I had one of my aides is in one of my kids' classes. She's been with Aaron since she was in kindergarten because of another girl that has needed help for these last 8 years. And she reminded me that really she spends more waking hours with my child than I do. Well, I had a little bit of a moment of, oh, I don't like it. I was so grateful for teachers and for the time and energy they spend with their kids, teaching and equipping and putting up with. I had a friend that went with my son's class on Thursday for a whole field trip all day, and he came home and said, I don't know how that teacher has made it all year. I just don't know how she's done it. That class is crazy. I then asked if my son's part of the problem, because that's just my nature as a parent. No, he was good. He was good. But just that salute to teachers and the processing and time and energy they put into our kids. Now, having homeschooled for just a brief bit of time, I was the teacher in our home. And I was always amazed at how teaching worked. I would teach a lesson that I thought fit, that everybody understood. And then it would turn out, seems like sometimes years later, I would find out the truth of what they actually understood in that space. For instance, I taught Morgan that the earth was the earth, that we lived on the earth, but there was an atmosphere above us. It was around us, all around the earth. I don't know, I think it had to have been 4 years before Morgan finally said, wait, when rocket ships go out, how do they break through that crust to go to space? What are you talking about? Well, we live inside the earth, right? And so there's a shell around us, so how do they get through that? We're not living in the earth, we're on the earth. Yeah, totally miscommunication. No understanding. Honestly thought we were underneath the earth and how we lived. One of those spaces that as a parent and as a teacher, I just thought, you know, obviously clearly this is what it was not to her. And I also love how my children teach each other things. It's fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And I remember when my five-year-old came to me and he said, you know what? I have a hard time believing that there's only 7,000 people on this earth. I do too. There's more Prince George than that, honey. Where did you hear that? Well, Jesse told me there's only 7,000 people on the earth. Now you have to understand, for Jesse, 7,000 is a very big number at that age. For Andrew, who's a numbers kid, 6 billion made more sense. All the things that we teach. As we have done our sermon series over the last little while, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit does so much in a believer's life. He equips us. He gives us gifts. He sanctifies us, that big word for cleaning us up and making us new. But he also teaches us. It's one of the best gifts that we've been given, to teach us. It's interesting, as Jesus was walking the earth, and if you know his story, he was born fully God and fully man, but grew up as a child, learned many, many things. I would think as a parent would have been very hard to parent him, because his reflection of perfectness against my own sin would have been difficult. But he walked that earth sinlessly, and he spent some time hanging out with a bunch of followers, people that were like-minded, that he was trying to teach and equip. And one of the things he talked about often with them was the Holy Spirit. And I love this scripture verse and the importance that he gives on that, because he's just told them that he's going to go away. And so he's a little bit chastising them then. He says, because, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me. Not at one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, he grieved because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, I don't know if you're like me, when I started this sermon preparation, I was reading where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. I have to admit, that one kind of challenged me a little bit in my thinking as I got going this week. I think because I have always wanted to see and know Jesus physically. I'd love to hold his hand, or to see his eyes and have him look at me in a way that just is so loving, so completely. I want to know this physical Jesus, and yet for him to say, in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. makes the level of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does so important, doesn't it? Jesus' own words was the Holy Spirit is going to come, and if I don't go away, he can't, so I need to go. Because this gift for you is so important. Now, if you know the story a little bit, Jesus really is still living in the Old Testament. He changes to the New Testament by his own actions. But John was the last Old Testament prophet, and Jesus was still sort of living in the Old Testament way of thinking, and so were all those people in that day. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and rest on a person, and then he'd be taken away from that person. And they looked for a time when it would come where that would no longer be. In Ezekiel, there's that beautiful promise where God says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll give you a new spirit. I will take up your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Not on you, but in you. Oh, that's something they didn't understand. That was something that they knew was coming and were hoping for the day of. Jesus made it so clear that when he came, everything was going to be different. A new way of responding and a new way of thinking. So as we get into our scriptures, we're going to look at a church and a letter that was written to them. But before we do that, let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your son. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his sacrifice for us. I thank you that because we choose him, we not only have him, Lord, in our life, but the Holy Spirit that teaches and corrects us and makes us whole and new moment by moment and day by day. Father God, everything that we say this morning, may we honor you and bless you. May it be your words and not mine. Well, the passage we're going to look at was written to a church that was dysfunctional at best. They had issues. They had some people that the letter begins with this conversation about some of you follow Apollos, and some of you follow Paul, the writer. Some of you follow Jesus, because only his way is the best way. We've never been in a situation like that, have we? Not only are there factions and problems, Paul's having to write about how to deal with lawsuits. Don't sue each other! Sort it out between the two of you. You're bigger than that, more mature than that. Make this work itself out. Sexual sin. There's an issue going on in this church that even the people outside the church don't think is normal. And for some reason, they're not doing anything about it. Paul is going to talk to them about that. Food sacrificed to idols. Some people think it's okay to eat that food. Some people don't think it's okay to eat that food. These people seem to be bothering these people about it and causing them to stumble because to them it's not a big deal and to them it is a big deal.
Trying to do our best to prove to God that we're good enough and we're
Angel likes to drive in ditches. This passage is one of those ones that's been used as ditches. So I'm hoping today that as we do that, we can kind of find some middle ground. Because in some ways, this passage has been used to say some things that I don't think Paul meant. Paul was a very learned, understanding man, and had lots of scriptural knowledge. Loves taking it apart bit by bit. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. I think that should blow your mind right there. That promise that when we ask Jesus into our heart and we're sincerely coming before Him, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit enters our hardened minds, our human bodies, our human thinking, our human souls, and gives us this gift. The Spirit that searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. It's a little bit, maybe, this is a bad example, some of you are like marriage in some ways. I love that I've known my husband for 25 years. I do. And there are many, many ways that he and I connect on the same thing. Sometimes it's just, like, I tell my kids, well, Daddy's going to say this. And then they go home and tell Daddy, and Daddy says that. And we've seen, they've got that one. We know each other. We've done this. And then there are times when I say, Daddy's going to say this, and we go home, and Daddy does not say that. Daddy says something else entirely. And I'm like, okay, so Mommy, sorry. I wasn't expecting that. I had a different thought. I mean, we've been together a long time, so in a lot of ways I know him, and I can anticipate some of his thinking, but I am not in his heart and mind. I am not thinking the things that he is thinking, because he's his own person, and I'm my own person. But that gift, that the Spirit of God, the very one that thinks and processes the thoughts of God, is our gift. Teach us and train us and correct us. That really is a gift that should mess us up. But the God of the universe is choosing to enter each person individually with his own thoughts and minds to our thoughts and minds. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Not using our own human wisdom, instead using the words of the Spirit to explain spiritual truths. I think this is one of the spaces we have to be careful not to drive a ditch. Some of us are incredibly experiential kind of people, and we love the emotion, and we love that side of things, and so we'd love to say, I don't need the Word of God, all I need to do is listen to the Spirit, and He'll tell me what to do. And then on the other side of the ditch, some of us love to say, well, I only need the Word of God. I actually heard that said the other day. I don't need the Spirit to teach me, I just need the Bible, that's good enough. And yet, somewhere in the middle of that, because the Word of God truly is the Word of God, is the Holy Spirit written out in page form for us, and yet we need the Holy Spirit to teach us and correct us and help us see new things. If you're like me, you could have read a passage over and over and over again and never caught that one thing. In that moment where you sit there and you read that again, and you go, whoa, has that always been there? Is that just new to me? Because the Holy Spirit takes the things that we're reading and makes it something that we can grasp, something that we can understand, something that we know. But I love how he talks about, too, then, that we're given words to speak like the Spirit wants us to speak. I've often had that when it comes to preaching, when I'm sitting, processing, and preparing, wondering how it is I'm going to make this make sense. In words that make sense. And I will literally prepare something, and then I'll say something else in the service. And I'll wonder why that is. Until someone after will come up and say, this is what I need to hear here, a little bit. Ah, well, that's what God's up to. Or to go to a place like YC, where there's so many many different gospel messages. Every speaker that speaks speaks a gospel message, and to hear them all different. Different understandings, different processes, because somewhere in that group of people, some kid, some person needs to hear the way this speaker is being told to speak it that day, in that moment. Or to have had coffee with someone and sitting across the table for them and realizing I have nothing to give them. And in that moment, sitting there praying, God, it's got to be your words and not mine. Because I have nothing in my own human wisdom that I can say into this space. And then God brings scripture. Or God will give me a word that just seems to make what they need to hear make sense. The Holy Spirit actively working in our hearts and minds to do ministry for other people, teaching us what we need to say. Jesus even said, and when you're brought into the trial in the synagogue before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. That's a promise and it's a gift. I can imagine for Stephen, if you know the story of Stephen that was about to be martyred, who's read his whole sermon? Yeah, it's long. It's like a history account of the Israelites. In that moment, Stephen spoke what God told him to speak. And he challenged a group of people in a way that they needed to hear just before his death. I would be panicking. I thought my brain would shut down. But the Holy Spirit spoke for him, taught him what he needed to say in that moment that he spoke the word of God to that space. Again, I think it's a space, though, we need to be careful. Make sure that we're digging into the Word of God so the Holy Spirit can speak. He never, ever contradicts himself. So if the Word of God says no, then the Holy Spirit's going to say no, no matter how much you feel differently. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. I need to hear that this week. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. I feel like I live in a world that doesn't understand how I can live a simple faith. We have a rational, logical, A plus B equals C kind of space in our world, in our culture. And if we can't explain how we do life or why we do life, we're either foolish or not educated. And sometimes I have to admit that is uncomfortable for me. I like to feel like I like to feel like how I present myself is well thought out and processed. I like to feel that I know my faith and I know why I believe what I believe and I can defend it. And all that is true. I can do all those things, but to someone without the Spirit, it seems like foolishness. How is it possible that if what you say is true, that I am a sinner, that I've done all these horrible things, that the God of the universe would give me a gift I just have to accept? It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. Or your way of dating sounds cute, but that's not really how life works. Or your way of processing life, the sanctity of life, is not big enough. You're not taking into all the cares and considerations that are there. Or how you deal with human sexuality is so narrow and so binding and constrictive. It's not thought out. It's not tolerant, it's not loving. Again and again, how we think and how we process is not something in a lot of ways the world's going to understand or going to hear. And for me this week, the reminder of that was a good thing. Because to be honest, while there are moments where I really feel that a lot, I would much rather my life line up to God's way of doing and remember that they're not going to get it and be okay with that. They're just not. Even when it comes to faith, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one that starts faith in someone's life. little careful again, because it says those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Don't take that to mean that the church doesn't get to help each other stay accountable. That's not it. Because two like chapters later, he's given them what for about the guy that was sleeping with his father's wife or something and wants him out of the church. We're supposed to keep each other accountable and hold each other to that. But people that don't have the Spirit in them can't understand us, so we can't be evaluated by them. We can evaluate each other in love and care and help them alongside each other in spaces that we need that. But to the outside, they really don't even have a way of processing at all why we do what we do. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. It's a little bit like Job. You've read the story of Job. Job had everything taken from him. And then when it wasn't enough to actually question God, then Satan was allowed to actually take his body and his physical health too. And Job spent a lot of time having those friends around him that were constantly helping him. They're great friends. Must have been something you've done. Must have been a sin somewhere. Sure, God really wants you around. All these friends were giving good advice. And Job was sort of tenaciously holding on to it. And then it kind of calls God into account. It says, what's up, God? I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing. And in God's response to Job, it's a little bit like this. Were you there when I made the world? Were you there when I set stuff in place? Was this part of your story? For who can know the Lord's thoughts and who knows enough to teach him? None of us do. But the Holy Spirit of God knows his thoughts. Knows who he is. We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. See, that challenges me. Because I get on some level that I have the mind of Christ in my life, because scripture clearly says that that's the truth. But I don't live out my life like I have the mind of Christ. I don't process the way he does. I don't act the way he did. I'm not like that. And so I get that on some level this is true, but how I do things doesn't prove that to be true. And so I'm challenged again to wonder, how much more, God, do you, how much more can I give so that you can be more? You can be in this space and in this place. See, as we've been doing this sermon series on the Holy Spirit, we've talked about a lot of things. He equips us for service. He gives us spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, ask someone that loves you. They usually have an idea long before you do. He teaches us. He corrects us. He cleans us up, that process of sanctification in our life. Does all these things to make us new. And yet, as I was processing this week and wondering about all these things, about Jesus being in my heart and in my mind, affecting my body and soul, I wondered, how much do I let him make a difference? See, he can make a difference, but do I let him make a difference? And it got me thinking, often when I go to conferences, they ask this question of, would you notice if the Holy Spirit left your ministry? And it's a challenge. Would you notice if the Holy Spirit left your church? And the planning that you do, would you notice? And I admit there's been days when I've been challenged by that to process how much of this is my own doing and how much is what he would want me to do. And then I got reflecting on that song that David spoke. Take your Holy Spirit from me. Because remember, he was in the Old Testament. It was possible that the Holy Spirit could be removed from him. And he's having this conversation with God. Please, whatever you do, don't I became a believer when I was 4. So I don't have a before story. In some ways, I think I have chosen a lot of points in my life to box the Holy Spirit into something I know and understand because that's easier. But it's not enough for me. I want a taste. I want a little bit. I wake up every morning begging God that He'll take my day and He'll take my life and He'll make it His own. And I recognize that I mess it up again and again and again because unfortunately He's stuck in a very sin-filled thinking pattern and body. But He loves me enough to every day to choose that for me, to come back to me again and again and say, all right, baby girl, let's go. What do we got on the gym today? Let's do this. I think it's super important to get that. I can't make you do that in your life. But here's the thing, if you don't. If you're not open-handed asking God what He's got to teach you and what He wants for you and how He's processing your day for you, I think what we do in church then is just a religion. It's a set of rules that is mind-sucking, soul-oppressing awfulness that you will never be able to accomplish in your own power. Because the deal is, God didn't come and send His Son so that you can live a life without Him that looks cleaned up and Christian. It was never intended to be that way. God gave us the stuff to do because through us, He does it. He does it. He empowers, He equips, He gets us thinking right. And the stuff that we feel we're struggling with, rather than making new rules and new boundaries and new ways of making this happen so I can pull myself up and accomplish this, we gotta let go. And rest. And allow Him to do what He's gonna do. Our job is to keep looking for Him, keep reading scriptures, keep involved in those places, and allowing Him to teach us with open hands what He has for us. Lately, I've been looking at the message and some things, and one of the message took one of those verses, and I love how it said it, although I printed it in a really dark color. It says, Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. So I guess, after this many weeks of the Holy Spirit, what do you do with Him? We all have stuff that we put boundaries on. That we say, God, this far and further. Whether it's an experience that we had our mountaintop high years ago and that's good enough for you. Whether it's you just really don't want to be the odd one out in the community that people just don't get or understand. I get that. Whether in any of these spaces we just want to hold on to our own things because we like to have control. Whatever it is, our prayer would be that we let it go. Let it go and let God. I know we say that so much. But there isn't anything more precious than to see someone that has decided that they're no longer going to hold on to that so tightly. And they're going to let God just have a new way in that space. And as a church of believers, that's who we want to be. We want to be the presence of God in our city. We want to be the presence of God to each other. We want to be the presence of God in every place that we go, because then through us, Jesus is proclaimed. People know the gospel. We can't help but share His message of good news. All I have is yours. Maybe that's true for you today, maybe it's not. But as we head into response time, when we head into communion, I hope that is your response today. Communion's a reminder, right? It's a reminder of what Jesus did. hope you take this time to be in person, to deal with God and whatever it will be. We're going to ask the worship team to come back up. If you have kids downstairs, you can go get them up. And I pray that as you come forward for communion, that you won't allow things that have happened this week to hold you back, but that you won't treat it as something lightly either. You'll enter into this space of communion because it is a heartfelt, thankful place for you. Let's just pray. God, I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for your Son. I'm thankful for all of you choosing to live in each one of us. Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm a dirty lantern, where your Spirit is lighting up the inside of me, but because of my own choices and the things I will not let go of, your light cannot be seen as clearly as it could be. God, take our lanterns and make us clean. Help us to let go in the places you're calling us to. Help us to be a people that above all else want you. Not some form of you, not some form of religion, just you, Jesus. Because we love you. Take our response time, God. In Jesus' name, amen.